Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says who was and is to come. Folks, we're looking for his blessed appearance. And folks, it could be any time. If you would go with me to the book of John, chapter 15 and verse 1. This is all written in red, so we know what that is. That I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. And no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Folks, have you ever looked at an apple tree? Everything that's in the trunk of that tree flows into that branch. And all your fruit is out on that branch. He says, we are the branches, and we are to produce fruit. That's what God wants. And except you're plugged into the vine, you can produce absolutely nothing. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Why is the world in the shape it's in? Because they are not plugged into the vine. They have not got a hold of the vine. And without him, you can do absolutely nothing. I've done a whole lot of nothing before I got saved. But I've done some things now because I got plugged into the vine, or the vine got plugged into me, that I am there where I'm supposed to be. And folks, it's our responsibility to start producing fruit. God wants that. He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and do what? And glorify the Father which is in heaven. Now, we say we want to serve the Lord, then hang on to that vine and produce the fruit that will bring glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all those around you. Why is the world in the shape it's in? Why are we seeing such things as we're seeing? Because we're in the last days. I believe that. I've never heard such speech come out of people's mouths and such silliness and foolishness that's contrary to the word of God. He said it's not subject to the word of God, neither indeed can be. What is it? Vain imaginations, folks. This is true reality here. The Father sent Jesus. He's the one that planted me. He is the true vine, and we are the branches, and we are to produce fruit. If you notice in the book of Romans, in chapter 8, and down next to the bottom of the right hand, I can see it on the book. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us a few crumbs? No, he said he give us all things. Now, what does all mean? I don't know. Jesus said it. It's all. Apostle Paul said, I can do a few things through Christ that strengthens me. All things. Folks, we need to start walking in the power and the authority that God has given us, and we need to stay attached to the vine so that everything that's in the vine can flow into the branch. If we can produce that fruit, he said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When's the last time we've done that? I've seen it happen before. Let me change it. We don't do it. God does it, but he does it through us. And that anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage, we're supposed to be walking in that authority. He said that if you'll stay connected to the vine, and you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the devil's done this to me and that to me. How can we resist the devil? I made a bunch of notes and I ain't going to use a one. How can we resist the devil? First, you've got to draw nigh to God, get near to God, because the closer you get to God, the less room the devil's got between you and him to work. If you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And then you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. How did Jesus do it? Well, he quoted the word. He said, it is written. That's how you do it. It's that word's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to use that word, and we need to be skillful in it. We need to know how, through the gifts of the Spirit, we need to know how to discern good and evil. We need to know the difference so that we can attack. You say, well, how else can you resist the devil? Well, I tell Louise this all the time. That's the way to do it. Just treat him just like you do your husband or your wife. Don't listen to him. We're good at that, aren't we? We've got a lot of practice doing that. You can do that. Just don't listen to him. Just say no. I'm not going to do that. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to give in to that temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted because Jesus was tempted. But we don't need to give in to that temptation. We know the devices of the devil. We know his schemes. We're not ignorant of it. So if we're not ignorant, why do we keep stumbling and falling for it? Now, folks, we haven't drawn nigh or close enough to God to where we can deal with that. Or maybe we've not grown these grace and knowledge. I don't know. But folks, here's the thing. We are to produce some good works. Jesus said, and I know all y'all go cringe when I tell you this. He said, these works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do. Because I go unto the Father. Why? He was sending the Holy Spirit back to us, the Comforter, the one to go along with us, one to enable and empower us to be able to produce the fruit and the good works that God said he wanted from each and every one of our his believers. Folks, we can do that. Yeah. But folks, you got to tune out this world and all the negative and all the things that don't make a hoop for nothing. And there's so many people that are scrambling for riches and honor and glory and power. And folks, the Bible says that in the day, riches profiteth absolutely nothing in the day of judgment. Right. But yet people are striving for those and hurting people and killing people. And you see the crime in the streets that goes unpunished. Well, let me tell you something, folks. There's books in heaven that it's being written down. And God will require payment and judgment for that. Why has he not done it now? Because he would rather show mercy than judgment, but he will show judgment in due time. And that's up to God. It will not go unpunished. He said in the Word of God that in the last days, evil men and seducers will grow worse and worse. And I hear people say, well, you know, if we could just create an environment to where everything's perfect, man would be perfect. We won't. That happened in the Garden of Eden. How'd that work out? Perfect in mind. Well, I know the enemy sneaked in there, but he's still sneaking around today. But God said he'd given us power over all the power of the enemy. All of it. Now, folks, we need some fruit, but listen to what this says here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things, there is no law. And folks, when you get plugged into the vine, you can have those things. Are those things operating in your life? Are you plugged into the vine? Have you drifted away from God? Or you need to get back to where you were? Well, that's where your power and your authority and your anointing is. God will enable you. He has... ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I mean, the disciples and patriarchs of old, they were just like you and I. But God used them. You remember what he told them? He said, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I often wondered about that. Now, many of them were chosen vessels. Even before they were born, they were chosen to do that thing. John the Baptist was. Prophesied of him before he's ever born what he's going to do. Many are called, and few are chosen. Paul said he could do all things through Christ, which strengthens him. Folks, that's your source. That's the vine, and we're to lay hold on it. He said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap, if what? If you faint not. He said, be ye therefore steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, he already said he'd given you all things. He said his promises were yea and amen. That means yes. You don't have to try to convince him to do it. He already said, I will. Yea and amen. Said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Well, Jesus said, you can't go out and witness unto me, he told his disciples, until you be endued with power from on high. Folks, that same power is here today. It's still available, but I don't see it in use a whole lot. I see people that I talk to, not in here, not none of y'all, but I see people out there just broke, busted, disgusted, and they say they love the Lord. What's going on? He's already said, I give you all things. I give you everything pertaining to life and godliness. But we're not walking in that, well, they're not walking in that authority. And we need to do that by authority given to us. You can do that. You don't have to be beat down like that. He said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But we need to start living that abundant life. And that's not necessarily material things. You need to be abundant in the spiritual things of God and the power of God and walk in that power and authority. Because, folks, there's people out there that need what you've got. And it's available to each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit. These works that I do, I cringe when I read that because I don't see me doing that. But folks, it's available. It's a possibility. All things are possible to them that believe. I've seen a lot of people get saved. I've seen God do miracles. I've seen him touch people's lives and change them. I'm one of them right here. And folks, we need to start going out there and telling people, hey, Jesus loves you and he wants to save you and give you the gift of eternal life. And because the wrath of God is going to come upon this ungodly world. He said it would. I had another place to go to. The book of Romans. Now, he said in chapter 8, verse 28, we all know that. We know that all things work together for good. I found out a long time ago, it don't always start out good, Bill. But when he's done with it, it finishes good. All things work together. God's always working on your behalf. He said, all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did know, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, the predestination here, the Bible says that once you become a child of God, it's your destiny to be conformed to the image of Christ. That goes on for the rest of your life. It's a constant thing. It's called sanctification. You're to be conformed to his image. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I've often wondered about that. Well, what does that mean? What shall we say to these things? What's these things he just got through talking about in these previous verses? Sanctification. Well, he didn't say that, but he's talking about justification. What's that mean? Justified, declared not guilty in the sight of God. Because God declared his son to be guilty on your behalf. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against? I ain't found nobody yet. They can try to be against you. But God is for you. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I don't know. He's there interceding for you and I. The Bible says that if we will hearken unto the word of God and obey his commandments and not walk in disobedience, he said he would give us length of days and long life. He said he'd fill your barns full. He said he'd bless your cattle, bless your sheep, bless you coming in, bless you going out, bless you in the field, bless you in the city. He said you'd be above only and not beneath. You'd be the head and not the tail. Right. He said you'd be the lender and not the borrower. What's he talking about? He's talking about the blessing of the Lord being upon you. And folks, there's nothing wrong with being blessed. It's a good thing. How are you going to bless anybody else if you ain't got nothing to bless them with? I'm talking about material things. The Bible says that we are even receiving the blessings of Abraham. But folks, we've got everything available to us, and we need to seek the Lord and get to where we can walk in the power and the authority he has called us to be in. Amen. I want to get to the place to where when there's a need out there, God has supplied the answer to that need, and he'll do it through you and I, that you can lay hands on the sick, and you're expecting, and the anointing of God is upon you and in you and all around you, and you expect that person to be healed. Now, folks, let me say this before we go off the deep end. I've seen healings that take time. That's what a healing is. I've seen miracles that happen mighty quick. I've seen them both. And it's all up to God. Your responsibility is to pray and believe. Let God take care of the rest of it. When he does it, it's not up to you and I. It's up to him. We need to pray and believe. The fellow that I worked with as a chaplain over at Thomas Hospital, I never forget, he was a Methodist, and he wasn't much on the power of God or things like that, and he just saved as the next person. But he went to a trailer out of Sissonville. He was pastoring two churches at the time out there. And there was a young boy in the house that wanted to be baptized. And the family had called him, and he went out there. Well, he had to sprinkle him because he couldn't get him out there. Well, he did. And he said, as he was leaving, he just heard the awful excitement and rejoicing and everything in the house. Well, he said, you know, he thought that was because he was leaving. But he got out there, and later on he got a phone call from that boy's mother. And he said, "Preacher, you don't know this." He said, "My boy's been blind from birth." And he said, "When you..." I don't know if I can get that out or not. He said, "When you sprinkled him, God opens his eyes. And he can see now just as good as anybody." Amen. Nobody asked him to do it. Maybe the family had been praying for it. But God chose that time to do it. And that's what I'm talking about. We should be expecting great and mighty things out of God because he has promised. You won't have to beg him for it. Just believe him for it. And let God be God and his enemies be scattered, because there's many enemies out there. Folks, I've never heard such foolish speech. I just cringe when I hear people saying the things they're saying out there in the world. It's just fun, silly. But we've got an antidote for that. It's called the Word of God. You know, people will want you to listen to all their filthy talk and everything, and I've listened to it. I didn't want to. And I tell them afterwards, okay, I listened to all that foolishness. Now you go listen to me. I got something to tell you. I got some truth to lay on you. And folks, that's what you got to do. Stand on this, and God will stand with you. God bless you. If you have a need in your life this morning, he said he'd supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul said, if you have a need, he'll meet that need. If you want to stand in for somebody else, that's a wonderful thing and pleasing to God. But we need to get back to where we believe what's written in the book and ask God to help us walk and produce that fruit. Because, folks, the Bible says that it comes on the branches. And he said, you and I are the branches. We just need to let God do the producing. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Book 11, page 268.